Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Good afternoon, John Paul. How are you?
I'm fine. And I got text there earlier from farmers, and they were concerned over the weather that's ahead. And a lot of them have fields that are flooded, so they can't plant crops. And they're saying to us that it will cause a problem later in the year, they feel at the moment, if the rain continues regarding the food production side of things. Is that something as well that you're noticing and that you're seeing in the garden from the gardening side of things?
Well, I was listening to, I'm not sure if it was on C103 or somewhere else, but I was listening in the car earlier, and I heard them saying that Met Aaron were saying to expect up to 4 times the normal rainfall over the next week.
Yeah.
So that's 400% of what we should get over the next week we're going to get on ground that's already at capacity, that's already, you know, flooded, JP. It's becoming serious. I mean, certainly for the farmers, yes, it is something that we're aware of as gardeners, obviously, and it's particularly when the professionals in our industry, we can't plant, we can't do a lot of the landscaping, soft landscaping, hard landscaping, because obviously if the ground is waterlogged, you'll damage it. So, yeah, a lot of projects are put off and they're delayed, but that's not nearly as serious as obviously potential food shortages. So yeah, it is becoming an issue. Hopefully we'll get the rain that we get over the next week, and that'll be an end to it. But there's a storm I see forecast for building up off the west coast for the weekend, so it's not looking any better for next week, unfortunately. But hopefully, without sounding like the doom of gloom, this will all pass and it'll change to good weather for a nice summer ahead, hopefully.
Hopefully it will. And just as we mentioned rainfall, and I know we discussed this before and people have mixed views on this, and if you say it's climate change, people will say no, it's not climate change, it's just the way the seasons go. Do you think that, because I know Prime Time on RTE did a programme and they put a lot of research and money into this with and UCC and other universities, whereby they looked at the rainfall the day Middleton flooded, and it did show that they found it was the intensity within the clouds basically that brought the rain was all part of climate change. Do you believe the rain we're seeing now and the way it's so intense is all due to climate change?
I'm not scientifically, or I don't have the academic qualifications to say that. However, I think, and to that you could pinpoint one specific weather event to climate change. However, I think common sense tells us all that it's climate change, and tells us all, I mean, whether it's climate change or not, whatever label you want to put on it, we are in a state of climate and ecological emergency, and we need to take it seriously, and we need to take it seriously as individuals, and we need to take it seriously on government level. Individuals ourselves can't change it. Governments can't change it unless the individuals buy in. But we need to wake up and pay attention. It's not just weather events that it's affecting. It's affecting the whole ecological situation. And as a result, we are, whether we like it or not, we're going to see food shortages, because I'm already seeing seed potatoes of certain varieties, which, you know, staple varieties of in Ireland, not available this year because of crop failures last year. So we're only a few steps away from it, this getting quite serious, John Paul.
Yeah, and that's what farmers are highlighting this morning on the show. They were saying that we won't notice it until later on in the year or next year. And if you're seeing that from something last year, but you can see the effects will roll on for another few years. Anyhow, well, we move on to gardening questions, Peter. A lot of them in. And first of all, this is from a listener who's asking you, the leaves on her bluebells, they're drooping all over the place. And she wants to know if it would damage the flowers if she decided to trim them back a bit.
No, it wouldn't, not at all. And it's quite common with a lot of bulbs, actually. Bluebells are one. Alliums are another, where the leaves, and I was actually with a friend of mine there recently looking at his garden, and he was wondering what was wrong with his alliums because the leaves were all withering. So not only were they beginning to droop, but also wither. So that's totally normal for anybody who might be listening who's growing alliums, that the leaves are withering now. That's totally normal as the energy from the bulb starts going into the flower. And with there's no harm at all in cutting them back. And the same with the bluebells, I would say, for aesthetics, absolutely no harm.
And we sent you on these questions, or these pictures even, from Michael, who was in Kilworth, and he sent in pictures of his hedge. And it is about 15 years old and it's losing all its leaves. Now, could you give many advice on what to do with this hedge, and indeed from the pictures that Michael in Kilworth has provided?
I can tell him what it is. I can't give him an awful lot of advice, unfortunately, JP. It's a holly hedge. It's Ilex Golden King, from the look of the photograph, a variegated holly. And it's dropping all its leaves. The stems are going kind of blacky brown. And a lot of people will be familiar with this now at this stage, because it's happening to a lot of hollies. It's holly leaf blight. So that's what's causing it. That's what the infection is. It's a fungal infection. It's one of the Phytophthoras. And unfortunately, the news then isn't wonderful in terms of its treatment. So what you need to do is remove all the infected growth. And in a hedge, as you can imagine, that could be nearly the entire hedge, JP. So, but, you know, being practical, remove as much. So cut it back hard, I suppose, is the best advice. Remove as much of the infected growth as possible. But then you see the infected leaves. And I have this affecting a mature holly in my own garden. So, I mean, I know how difficult it can be to do the next bit. Make sure that none of the infected leaves or infected cuttings are left around the base of the plant. Ideally, yeah, dispose of them off-site into a commercial composting unit, because they will just spread the spores back into the soil. So cut it back hard, remove as much of the infected growth from the area as possible. I would then say, you know, a bit like our own health, try and treat the infection, but then build us up again. So treat the infection on the hedge with something like the copper sulfate, a solution of copper sulfate mixed with water, drench the root zone around it, and then feed it up. So feed it with a good organic plant food. You know, if you've got some farmyard manure, some well-rotted seaweed feed, anything like that, just apply that as a mulch around the base of the hedge, and that'll try and improve the overall vigor and health of the hedge and make it less susceptible to the blight. But unfortunately, again, because of the exceptionally wet weather we've been having, these fungal infections are becoming more and more common.
Okay, well, hopefully that gives you some help there, Michael in Kilworth. And then somebody else asking, can you set flowers now in flower boxes, or is the weather too cold at the moment?
I suspect what they mean by the flowers is the kind of summer bedding, so summer flowering plants in flower boxes, hanging baskets, that kind of thing. We're just at the start of April. I'd say we're too early. I have saw them today actually myself, just in a couple of garden centres, so they are available, they are out there. But bear in mind, a lot of the garden centres that you'll be buying them in, they're stored undercover. There's a roof over the area, so the frost won't get at them in the garden centre. So just be careful where you're buying them. I wouldn't be in a rush to plant them into hanging baskets and flower boxes yet, because the risk of frost isn't gone and we will get low temperatures. But what you could do is get them from the garden centre and do what we call harden them off, which is just leave the plants outside for today and let's say for every day this week, but move them in each evening just so they're getting acclimatized, as opposed to going from one, you know, relatively warm environment right into the great outdoors where it might dip to very low temperatures. Do it gradually, do it over the week. So move them in the evening, and then hopefully at the end of that week, they should be tough enough.
And Jer wants to know, two questions from Jer actually. First of all, is it okay to feed his roses with tomato feed, and how often should they feed them?
It is okay to feed, absolutely, no problem at all feeding them with tomato food, because tomato food is high in phosphorus and potassium, which will encourage more flowers. But roses will actually do better from a specialist rose feed. It'll be formulated to give the roses exactly what they want. And roses, of all plants, really do like to be kept well fed to produce more flowers. So if you're using tomato food, it'll depend on which one you're using. They might recommend you use it once a week or once a fortnight. But as I said, that'll depend on the brand that you're using. But I would recommend using a good rose feed instead.
And also, Jer wants to know, they have planted new shrubs recently. What would you advise Peter putting on them to encourage growth?
You shouldn't really have to put much on them if they're newly planted, and if the soil is good, you actually shouldn't have to put much on them at all to encourage growth. Nature, the magic of the soil, will do it. And they're certainly getting well watered in at the moment, so there's no worrying about that. So I'm a much more of a believer in kind of feeding the soil to encourage healthy plant growth, as opposed to just putting on a quick feed on them. So if you can feed the soil by incorporating good organic matter, again, well-rotted farmyard manure, any kind of manure or compost, your own homemade compost or any kind of composted green waste, adding that to the soil, it's going to increase the nutrient levels, which will give them a boost, but it'll also improve the texture of the soil. So in the longer term, you're leading to healthier soils, which will lead to healthier plants. That's what I would do, is add something to the soil as opposed to just giving a feed to the plants.
Okay, and John is in the city now. He wants to know, because he has some daffodil bulbs in containers, but they did not flower this year. So what can he do, he's asking, to make them flower for next year, if that's even possible, he says.
No, it is, of course. It's, of course, possible. I'd say what has happened is, by the sound of it, they've been flowering in those containers for a couple of years, and just this year that they haven't flowered. So what happens is the bulbs can become blind, John Paul. And what that means is because the bulb just becomes too congested under the ground. So where you might have planted one bulb, that naturally develops into two or three or even four bulbs, but all feeding off the one root plate, so they're all attached, and it's too congested. None of them can develop into full bulbs in their own right. So what you need to do, once the foliage has died back now, probably in about a month's time, lift them out of the pot and break them into individual bulbs, then replant them out again in the autumn winter, and you should have plenty of flowers then next year. I would say he will anyway.
Okay, Anne has planted some Golden Wonder potatoes in big buckets. Now, they're not seed potatoes. She said she got them in a supermarket, but are they likely to grow to anything, she wants to know? Because obviously they're not growing as it is.
No, they will grow. And in fact, people that have planted them in big containers and things like that are probably, you know, apropos of what we were talking about the ground being waterlogged, they're probably better off, because those big pots and containers will drain away. It's not ideal to plant shop-bought potatoes as growing, because they will grow, but they're not certified disease free. So that's the main problem with them. However, yes, hers will grow. They'll turn into something, and she will have a harvest of sorts off them. Yes.
And Marie is in the city now. Marie has a lawn, but her lawn has a lot of moss on this. Now, what's the best thing she can do to get rid of the moss? Marie wants to know.
Do you know, encourage blackbirds to come into your garden, JP.
Oh, yeah.
And I tell you why I say that, because I was just looking out the other day at blackbirds. My own lawn has quite a lot of moss in it, part of it, and the blackbirds were pecking away at it. And of course, it's nest building time, so they were scarifying my lawn for me. They were taking the moss out of the lawn and bringing it home to make their nests. So as a result, when I go up to my lawn, there's still a pile of moss on the ground. but it's all been taken out. It's all, if you know what I mean. It's all I need to do now is go over with the lawnmower and collect it. So the blackbirds have done it for me. So encourage blackbirds into the garden, definitely. But what I would suggest is it's a very good annual lawn maintenance to scarify the lawn. Now, what that is, it's like a big mechanical rake. So it kind of breaks up. It's like if you can imagine a lawnmower blade with kind of, you know, nails, for want of a better expression, coming down straight into the ground. So there, it's cutting the top half inch of the ground. So it's digging up, physically removing the moss, getting it up off the soil, and you're removing the thatch, which is kind of a build-up of decaying plant growth on the soil surface. So that scarifying, it will lift all that up. Now, believe me, the lawn will look worse before it looks better. But once you've scarified it, to collect it all with a rake or with the bucket of your lawnmower into the compost bin, and that's the best thing to do. And then after that, what I would suggest you do is treat the lawn either just with garden lime or with one of the lawn care products that increase the pH of the soil. A lot of them are based on sulfate of iron, and they decrease the pH of the lawn, or the soil rather, that the lawn is growing on. That's kind of counterproductive, because grass for good growth wants quite a high pH. It wants slightly alkaline soil, and moss won't tolerate that. Whereas moss wants a slightly more acidic pH, which you get from applying sulfate of iron. So actually, I wouldn't be using sulfate of iron products. I would just add a bit of lime or a product that would increase the pH of the soil to keep the moss at bay then.
All right, Murray, hopefully that helps you there. And Tim is in Kanturk. He wants to know, Peter, is it too late for him to cut back his roses because they have a lot of new growth on them already? But would he be doing more harm than good by cutting them now?
No, Tim won't be doing more harm than good. What he's doing by cutting them now is he'll sacrifice the growth that they've already produced this year, but it's not more harm than good. There's still plenty of growth to come. There's a good friend of mine, if he's listening, Frank Hughes down in Listowel, who grows hundreds of roses every year. And I was just chatting to him earlier. He cut half of them back early in the year, early in the winter, and he hadn't, as of last week, he hadn't cut the remainder back yet. I'm sure he will soon, but and his roses will no doubt be fantastic. So no, it's not ideally. I'd like to have them done by the end of February, so we're about a month later than that. But it's not, all is not lost. You could still do it.
And just staying on roses, somebody has just texted in asking, "I put rose manure nuts all around my roses. Is that okay?" Ask Peter, please.
Rose manure.
Manure nuts around the roses.
Oh, sorry, but yes, manure. I'm guessing he's talking about farmyard manure. So it is brilliant to put around the roses. Best of all things you can add around the roses, provided, JP, that it's well rotted. So well rotted in that case, if you're dealing with a farmyard manure product, well rotted means about 2 years. So it's been rotting down for the last 2 years or more. So how you'd know that is it should be good and crumbly in texture, but the acid test is smell. Well rotted farmyard manure should have no smell. So, and then it's the best of stuff to put down. What you need to keep an eye on is that it's well rotted, but also that there's no perennial weeds coming in with it. You don't want to be bringing in any brambles or nettles or ground elder or, God forbid, Japanese knotweed or anything like that. So if it's weed-free and it's well-rotted, it's the best of stuff you can be putting on you.
Okay, and very finally, Kaylee is in the city. Now, she's a big holly tree with variegated leaves, but last winter the leaves got a black coating on them. But then it improved during the summer months, but the same thing happened again last winter. So she wants to know, what could this be, and should she just cut down the tree, is what Kaylee is asking.
Oh, God, no, not at all. No, what Kaylee's holly is suffering from is a thing called sooty mold. So it is, as she describes it, it's a black covering of the leaves, and it looks to all intents and purposes like the tree has been covered with a bag of soot, hence the name, hence the common name. What causes it, John Paul, is you'll have scale insects, another type of insects can cause it as well, overwintering in the tree. And as they're laying their eggs, they secrete this honeydew kind of secretion onto the leaves, which is very, very sticky. That in itself isn't doing much harm, but what happens is the black fungal spores then stick to it. So causing this black covering of the plant, which is number one, unsightly, but number two, it's also reducing the plant's ability to photosynthesize and to survive, if you like. So it is weakening the tree, the holly tree. It doesn't just happen to holly, it happens to other plants as well. So what you want to do is use something, maybe neem oil or something like that, to get rid of the scale insects from the tree, from the holly. And again, your copper sulfate, a drench of copper sulfate and water to get rid of the black fungal infection. So it's a two-pronged approach is what you need to take there, really. But no, to certainly certainly don't take drastic action like cutting it down. Absolutely okay. Not.
Yeah, kind of that. Kayleigh, hopefully that helps you there. And Peter, thanks for joining us. We'll chat to you again next Wednesday. That is Peter Dowdall of the Irish Gardener. You'll find him under the Irish Gardener on Facebook or indeed on Instagram, or indeed check out theirishgardener.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.